$10 or $15 a month helps keep local hosts and music on the air. Become a sustaining member today at WVIK.org.
9 days in December, 5 Christmas markets, 1 beautiful blue Danube. And best of all, you'll share it with people who value public radio just like you do. Find out more at WVIK.org/travel.
Hi, it's Michelle Martin. From the station you're listening to right now to our headquarters in D.C., NPR is a network, and that includes listeners like you. Please do your part and give today.
Go now to WVIK.org and click the donate button.
My name's Amel Kabuku. I'm 13 years old and I play the violin. I hope you enjoy my performance of Al Albeniz by Rodion Chedrin here on From the Top.
Welcome to From the Top, where outstanding young musicians come to play. I'm your host, pianist Peter Dugan. You just heard 13-year-old violinist Emel Kabuku from La Jolla, California, performing Rodion Chedrin's In the Style of Albeniz, with yours truly on the piano. Imagine living in a place where every day the sun shines and the surf is perfect, but instead of spending your days lounging at the beach, you choose to stay home and practice. On this episode, we're headed to Southern California to meet some incredibly dedicated young musicians. But if you thought I was talking about Los Angeles, you're thinking a little too far north. Today, we're in San Diego, one of my favorite cities, whose rich culture boasts sun, surf, world-class arts organizations, a Shakespearean theater, and of course, a deep connection with our neighbor Mexico just half an hour away. Listen in as we hear stunning performances today by some of the most talented young musicians from all over this area. First, let's catch up with ML, the young violinist we just heard. Well, ML, that was so much fun to play that piece together.
Yeah, thank you. That piece, it's a really beautiful piece and it means a lot to me.
It's fiery. What do you have in your mind as you play this piece? Is there a narrative?
Well, since I really like reading a lot and I get inspired by stories I read to create a story for the piece I'm playing, I got inspired by the short story, The Most Dangerous Game.
Oh, I love that really story when I was your age.
Yeah, so basically it's about two hunters who are in a hunting game and they start hunting each other and there's like a big plot twist.
Yeah.
And I think that there are some parts that really like match the piece really well. There are some parts where it's like super loud, enthusiastic, dramatic, and you can hear them like attacking each other and fighting. Mm-hmm. And there are some really quiet parts, like you can hear like the leaves crunching as the like hunters are trying to sneak up on each other in the undergrowth. And that's what I picture in my mind as I'm listening to it.
Can we demonstrate a couple of these different moments? Give us a little bit of the sound of what you associate with the creeping and the stalking the prey.
I would say maybe this part, like this sforzando is like... Okay. Can like almost hear the leaves like crunching as they're walking through the dense jungle. It's like really intense piece.
Yeah.
You can feel the tension.
So, and you're talking about a story about life or death. So yeah. The stakes are super high.
My SUS conductor says that sometimes when we're not together, he's like, you have to play like it's life and death. And
yes.
That's what it really reminded me of. Because if you think that like you're going to die if you don't play this place all together, then it immediately actually sounds better. It's like tricking your brain almost.
Right.
It's so cool.
Well, let's go back to your earliest memories of music. Can you tell me what you remember and how it felt?
When I first heard Mendelssohn Violin Concerto, actually, I was like really young. I was on my couch and there was the TV and I was just like replaying the same recording over and over.
Do you remember who was playing?
It was David Oistrakh. I remember being so like dumbfounded and shocked. I was like, this piece is so beautiful. How can this person play it that perfectly? And I remember listening to Mendelssohn Violin Concerto like 10 times that day, like so many times. And I'm like, I wish I could play that.
And you were already studying violin at that time?
Yeah, actually. But I was like a really beginner. I was playing like Hot Cross Bun. I was really beginner. So I was like, I don't think I could ever play this.
Wow.
Actually, my dream kind of came true in a way because I performed it last year as a solist with an orchestra. So I thought that was really cool.
Wow, full circle.
I would say it's one of like the most meaningful moments to me as a violinist over the years.
Yeah.
I think that being able to perform that piece that I was dreaming of playing as a young girl just really solidified what I want to do and like pursue.
Yeah. I understand that in addition to your love for music, you're passionate about science.
Oh yeah, I love science.
Are there ways that those passions get to combine for you?
I would definitely say that I'm very curious about how our brain perceives music and how music interacts with it. I did a science project last year to like act on what I was thinking. Basically, I analyzed EEG recordings, which is the measures of brainwaves,
right,
on 15 individuals.
How did you do that?
So basically, I used a simple EEG headset where you connect electrodes to the foreheads of each test subject.
Right.
And then you connect it to an app which analyzes the signals that they're feeling. And basically, I performed three genres of music: classical, rap, and rock.
Uh-huh.
They're very different, so
yeah,
I chose those three. And I did 3 minutes of each genre for each test subject.
Cool.
And I noticed that classical music generated the strongest EEG response and also the highest power for gamma waves. And gamma waves are associated with like higher focus, concentration, and like better memory and information processing abilities in the brain. So I was really interested about this because classical music has a really positive impact on the brain.
Do you have any hypotheses as to why classical music had this effect of allowing subjects to have better focus?
I would say that listening to classical music has many like aspects that makes the person concentrate. Like there's many little details in it compared to other music. Like it's so specific. Every note, everything is meant to be there. So I think that helps. Whenever I'm playing the violin or performing something, I'm so concentrated. Like before, my brain is pretty scattered. I would say like I'm not the most concentrated person on the planet. But whenever I play a piece, I'm thinking of that piece only. I shove worries or things I am thinking about in the back of my mind, like stuff to do later.
Yeah, it's definitely a special type of music. And of course, everyone hear it from the top. We love listening to it. For now, I just want to thank you so much for spending time with us today, for performing for our listeners, and for being such a great partner in our performance together. It's been great getting to know you, Emel.
It's been an honor.
13-year-old violinist Emel Kabuku from La Jolla, California. Let's hear now from our next young musician, 16-year-old clarinetist June Kim from San Diego, California. June, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What are we going to perform together today?
We're going to play Mozart's Rondo, which is originally written for the violin and piano, but transposed in B-flat major for the clarinet and piano.
Great. Well, whenever you're ready, let's take it from the top. You just heard 16-year-old clarinetist June Kim from San Diego, California, perform Mozart's Rondo in C, originally for violin and orchestra, arranged for the clarinet by Nikolai Pfeffer. I'm Peter Dugan, and I was at the piano. That was just an absolute delight.
Thank you.
And it's rare to find a teenager who can play Mozart with such poise and such a beautiful sense of style, but you really did it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, Mozart is one of my favorite composers, and it was actually one of the first composers I ever learned.
And this piece that we just played wasn't originally for the clarinet, though.
Right. Yeah, so this piece I just performed is the Rondo in C major, originally in C major for violin and piano. And the story of how I got to learn about this piece is the first major piece of repertoire I learned on the clarinet was the Mozart Clarinet Concerto. Mm-hmm. And after a couple of years, my teacher really encouraged me to explore other repertoire by Mozart, the violin sonatas, the violin concerti, the piano concerti. I listened to all of them and I was particularly not disappointed, but a bit let down because Mozart never wrote any great pieces for the clarinet and piano. He wrote many pieces for the string quartet, clarinet, the concerto, the trio, and many wind serenades, but never a piece for piano and clarinet.
Uh-huh.
Mozart's string catalog is very rhythmic or motivic compared to a lot of the clarinet stuff, which is melodic.
Right.
But I noted that this piece in particular, even though it's written for the violin, it's very melodic and very operatic in a way. Yeah,
so you came across a violin recording and it spoke to you as like, this would work on my instrument.
Yeah, I've listened to many, many recordings on the violin of this piece and I take a lot of the things they do, but also there's some clarinetistic things that I can do to make it even more convincing and even better suited for the clarinet.
Have you had any recent performances that were particularly memorable or amazing to be a part of?
Yeah, one of the most memorable events for me ever was I was a part of NYO2 this summer.
Nice. The National Youth Orchestra of the United States of America. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The younger version, but yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah, and our centerpiece of the program was the Shostakovich Cello Concerto.
Oh, nice.
Elisa Weilerstein.
Oh, and she's amazing.
Yeah, I happened to play the first clarinet part, and there's a very quiet, almost death-like, very much Shostakovich.
Yes.
And I remember playing that in Carnegie Hall and it was a life-changing moment.
I just got goosebumps just hearing you describe it. What was it like stepping out in front of the audience at Carnegie Hall?
Before I went to Carnegie Hall, I thought it was going to be very nervous. I thought I was going to be sweating. I thought I was going to be totally not prepared. I've attended concerts at Carnegie Hall before, but I sat in the balcony and I remember when I was sitting in the audience, I thought the Carnegie Hall was very big and I thought, you know, you could see everyone. But actually, when I first time I entered Carnegie Hall, I thought the hall was actually very small. On stage, it feels rather small. And for some reason, I didn't really feel nervous, whether it's because of the support I got from other musicians in the orchestra or just because I was really prepared. But
yeah,
it was actually pretty peaceful.
Yeah.
My mind was very relaxed.
When a performance ends, you know, and you hear the audience roar, what does that moment do for you?
I mean, I think it's, of course, very satisfying, but also I actually enjoy people who clap between movements because they have so much energy. And I feel like those people are new to classical music.
Mm,
and I think that's a really good way for us to know that they're a new audience in classical
music. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. I love the way your mind works. thank you so much. That performance was just a real treat, June. Keep being you, man.
Thank you so much, Peter.
16-year-old clarinetist June Kim from San Diego, California. Peter Dugan here, and I just want to say thank you to Gerald and Susan Slavitt. Their support makes it possible for you and me to meet outstanding young musicians together each and every week. Thank you.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency connecting young people with the arts in schools and in their communities. Learn more at massculturalcouncil.org. From BritBox, dedicated to offering viewers the opportunity to see it differently with British TV. Streaming original series, Jane Austen dramas, Agatha Christie mysteries, and more at BritBox.com. And from the sustaining members of this NPR station.
Let's meet our next young musician, 16-year-old percussionist Yo-Yo Wu from here in San Diego, California. Welcome to From the Top, Yo-Yo.
Thank you.
I'm really excited to play together today. What are we going to perform?
We'll be performing the Colombian Marimba Concerto by Sergei Golovko. It's a piece that I think is really interesting because of its uniqueness, and I hope you enjoy.
I've certainly never heard anything like it before. Let's take it from the top. Thank you. That was 16-year-old percussionist Yo-Yo Wu from here in San Diego, California, performing excerpts from the first movement of Sergei Golovko's Colombian Marimba Concerto. I'm Peter Dugan, and I joined Yo-Yo at the piano.
That was so much fun.
Yes, it was a great experience to be able to play this and record this. It's my first time in a real studio like this. It was really interesting seeing how things worked.
You're such a pro.
Thank you.
And you handled it beautifully. Also, this is my first time ever getting to play with the marimba. What a cool piece of music, too.
I really like this piece because it kind of pushes the boundaries of what music can be for me, because it's a combination of pop, Latin, jazz, classical. It has a little bit of each element from a lot of different styles.
Right.
And combining that with a marimba solo, it's really special to me.
Yeah. How did your journey take you to the percussion family?
I had an elementary school band when I was growing up. They let us try out a bunch of instruments, from saxophone to flute to trumpet. And I was pretty bad at like almost everything. So I decided to go with percussion. At first, I was a little reluctant because I was like, oh, drums. I mean, I don't really like drums that much. Like the idea of drums and rhythm didn't sound that interesting. But the mallet teacher, she brought in her marimba and I saw it and I was like, oh, that looks like the piano. So then I was kind of drawn to it. And even though I wasn't too fond of drums back then, I think it's grown on me quite a lot.
What's the most exciting instrument you've gotten to play in the context of being a percussionist?
I think the most unique would have to be a jawbone.
A jawbone?
Like the jawbone of a dead donkey. You hit it and the teeth kind of vibrate in it. It sounds a little like a vibraslap, but softer and more like dark.
What piece called for that?
There's a few pieces, mostly like Latin American pieces. Recently, we were playing Cayumari by Gabriela Ortiz.
Uh-huh.
It was commissioned, I think, for the LA Phil.
Wow, that's really cool. Outside of music, what else gets your brain excited? What are you passionate about?
One of the other topics I'm passionate about is neuroscience.
Okay.
I took an AP psychology course last year and we were getting into like the different parts of the brain and what they are used for. And that was really interesting to me. So I joined like a few neuroscience clubs at my school.
What do you do in these clubs?
There's one called iGEM, International Genetically Engineered Machine. That's a little more serious. It's not limited to neuroscience, but this year we did a project related to neuroscience. It was a therapeutic for Parkinson's disease. We basically engineered cells that would secrete proteins that could bond to the, basically the ones that would trigger neuroinflammation so that we could prevent neuroinflammation from happening.
That's incredible. Before you go, I wanted to ask, how do you think music shapes or changes the way we see the world? And how has it changed the way you live your life?
There's a lot of ways that music has shaped me as a person, the way I live my life. An experience I had over the summer at the National Youth Orchestra 2 has really shaped me as a person because, well, I'm an only child at home. I just live by myself. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like when I'm outside with other people, there's this kind of barrier that I put around myself. I'm like not my real person. I'm just acting. But at a music camp like that, where we have to have roommates and stay with people for almost like a month, it's kind of impossible to do that. So it taught me to open up, to be less afraid of just being myself in front of other people. And just having the people that were so connected to me in music, because every day we have rehearsals, it was really natural for me to be able to just show them who I was as a person and speak my mind freely around them.
Beautifully said. And it makes me really happy to picture you and your peers all coming together, bonding over your love of music, and then going out into the world that much stronger and that much more equipped to share and to bring people together. Ultimately, you all have so much power as musicians to unite people in a world that is often too fractured. So keep doing that, Yo-Yo. Thanks for performing with me today, getting to give me my first experience playing with marimba. It was so much fun.
Thank you so much. It was so much fun for me too.
16-year-old percussionist Yo-Yo Wu from San Diego, California. Are you craving more From the Top? We've got you covered. Listen to extended interviews on the From the Top podcast. Watch exceptional musical performances on From the Top Daily Joy videos. And discover opportunities to meet From the Top in person. Find this and more on our website. Visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism, offering visitors information about the arts, culture, and history of Boston. The journey begins at visitma.com. From Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org.
Hi, music lovers. This is Mindy. You know, the music, news, and conversations you hear on this station are curated by people who care deeply about what they share with you. That human expertise is what makes public radio unique, and sustaining memberships make it possible. Start a monthly gift today and help ensure that passion and knowledge, not algorithms, shape what you hear. Become a sustaining member now at WVIK.org.
I'm Joe Immel from Charlotte, Iowa, and WVIK is my NPR station.
If you've never donated to this station before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters right now. And thanks.
Visit WVIK.org and click the donate button and make your contribution to public radio.
My name is Ethan Zhao. I'm 17 years old and I play the violin. I hope you enjoy my performance of the Prokofiev Violin Sonata No. 2, Second Movement here on From the Top.
Thank you.
Welcome back to From the Top. You just heard 17-year-old violinist Ethan Zhao from San Diego, California, perform the second movement of Sergei Prokofiev's Sonata for Violin and Piano in D major, with me, Peter Dugan, on the piano. We're in San Diego this episode, meeting young musicians who call this southernmost California city their home. Now, let's meet Ethan. Ethan, that was such a blast, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
That was exhilarating to play that with you.
Thank you.
Tell me about what this piece means to you.
This piece was actually something I really wanted to practice, especially the 16th notes that accompany the piano. I thought that part was really fun to play. So that alone was pretty much a big appeal to me. And this piece was honestly really fun to practice as well. So
for our listeners, that's the part that you heard where it sounded almost inhumanly fast. What about a challenge like that excites you?
I really find music that I'm able to listen to like attentively, and this part always catches my attention. So being able to practice it and being able to have this opportunity to play it, I mean, that was like really good.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it. It sounded great.
Thank you.
Tell me about the earliest memory you have with the violin.
I lived in Texas when I was like younger than 5 years old, and I remember my brother practicing, and later that night, my mom told me to hold the violin and she took a picture. And I think that was genuinely my first memory of ever even touching one.
So he was already playing the violin.
Yeah.
And your mom had you hold it in the picture?
Or yeah, it was wanted funny. To? No, I think I wanted to hold it, and like the posture wasn't even half bad. So she just took a picture.
So did you want to play the violin so that you could be like him?
I think my brother was a big inspiration for me trying to play the violin. And I think without him, I would have wandered in some other equally probably great direction. But I think violin really stuck with me even after all these years.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about your life outside of music.
Well, I'm involved in school speech and debate. And I think that's really fun because I don't know. I think debate and music are pretty interconnected.
How so?
There's an aspect of performance that both of them have and being able to express yourself by music or talking. Mm-hmm. I feel like even with music, it's sort of persuasion, and with debate, you're persuading a judge. And for violin or music, you're trying to move an audience. So I feel like it's pretty interconnected in a way that you're trying to appeal to an audience.
Exactly. Yeah. Ethan, what do you think is the most important thing you need to have as a musician?
I think empathy is honestly probably like the most important thing you can have as a musician. Because if you want to like have collaborators, you have to be able to understand people. I got to really strengthen this because I met this guy that was kind of struggling with what he had at home. I really got closer to him and he got closer to me, and I just felt like we were able to open up. So it was like a mutual bond that I developed, which I didn't think I could before.
How does empathy play a role in your own music making?
I think the emotions of a piece, at least they come to me the most when I'm nervous, because the emotions are all I'm thinking about when I'm performing. So being able to understand the emotions of the composer while you're playing their piece or overall just studying their piece, I think that's really important. So I feel like in that way, I'm really able to connect with the music more when I'm on stage and performing. The conductor for San Diego Youth Symphony.
You can give him a shout out by
Mr.
name.
Mr. Patel.
Absolutely. He's the greatest.
Yeah. Okay. So Mr. Patel, while we're playing like Shostakovich 5, he would always say, put yourself in the shoes of Shostakovich, who's living during Stalin's regime, and how devastated he must have felt. So there's like several parts in the first movement and overall the entire thing that he really spills that out into the music, and he really tries to get us to bring that out and play with passion and experience it like he's experiencing it.
Right. So it kind of makes the stakes higher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you just connected deeply with all of our listeners at From the Top, and it was fun connecting with you and getting to experience empathy with you in our collaboration. And I wish you all the best as you keep moving forward, whether it's with music, with speech and debate, with science, art, all the above. Just keep enjoying it and keep being present.
Thank you.
17-year-old violinist Ethan Zhao from San Diego, California.
Let's meet our next young musician on today's program, 17-year-old flutist Rashmi Chelisseri from San Diego, California. Rashmi, welcome to From the Top.
Hi, thank you.
I'm so excited to perform together. What are we going to play?
We are going to be playing the Ooh Fantasy.
Yes, one of the great pieces from the early 20th century by French composer Georges Ouh. Whenever you're ready, let's take it from the top.
Thank you.
You just heard 17-year-old flutist Rashmi Chelisseri from San Diego, California, performing excerpts from The Fantasy for Flute and Piano by Georges Ou. I'm Peter Dugan, and I had the great pleasure of joining Rashmi at the piano. I feel like that was our most exciting performance of it yet.
Yeah.
The energy was so great.
Yes.
I love what you bring to this piece.
Thank you.
And of course, there's also all this great soaring lyrical playing in the piece too. Do you find yourself drawn more towards one or the other, the kind of flashy virtuosic stuff versus that poetic kind of music?
Yeah, I would say I like the lyrical part of the music. I think it more fits my personality and like my style of playing. I like the romantic, dreamy sort of when it floats on top of everything. And so those are my favorite parts of the piece.
Of course, the flute can float and be dreamy in a way that no other instrument can.
Yeah.
What kind of music was playing in your house growing up?
I guess a lot of Hindi music, like Bollywood music.
Do you think that's informed your musicianship in any way?
Yeah, I guess it's shown me that music doesn't have to have words to make an impact, because like I never understood the meaning of the songs, but I could still feel like the emotion of the piece, and that's kind of translated into how I play the flute. Like it's about bringing the intention to the audience in a way that they can feel and understand the piece.
What's the biggest challenge you've had to personally face in mastering this incredible instrument, the flute?
I have asthma, and that's been kind of like a physical barrier. There are some times where I have an asthma episode or something and I'm just physically not able to play the flute.
Wow.
And that's kind of scary for me. There was one instance where I just tried to play the flute anyway and I wasn't able to make a sound, and it was really like a wake up moment for me that I need to like take care of my body. I started doing like yoga and meditation to strengthen my body and my lungs, and like I tried exercise and stuff so I can strengthen my lungs and be able to play, and it's been better now.
Yeah, I've been working on trying to bring some elements of yoga into my preparation for concerts, but I'm still figuring out how to let meditation work its way into my musical process. Have you had any success with that?
Yeah, I guess the way that I do meditate, it's more like a modern sort of style of meditation where it's just kind of relaxing the mind, and I feel like that's helped me just feel comfortable in space, or like not let mental worry or stress get to me, where like I guess it's easy to have kind of a worried self-talk before a performance, but it's just kind of helped me stay calm and take deep breaths and like just play and be happy.
It's such a mental game having to be a performer and having to go out on stage, so anything you can do to give you that sense of confidence and calm, it's great.
Yeah.
You mentioned this sort of like worried self-talk. What are those voices that creep in for you? We all have them.
Yeah, I guess there's always that section in the music where you're like, oh, I don't know if that's going to go all right. It's just like preemptively thinking you're already worried for that part in the music. I think it helps, or I think it would help. Like I'm still trying to do it too, but
yeah, it's a lifelong.
Yeah. Just stay in the moment and like trust in your preparation. The audience most of the time isn't worried about every mistake, and they're rooting for you and they want you to do well, and they're here to just enjoy the music. So
yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
Do you have any other ways you try to practice mindfulness or mental wellness?
Yeah, I started a mental wellness club at my school because I think high school is just a very like academically stressful time, but also there's just a lot of other pressures on teens, and I wanted to create a community where students could support each other and not feel alone in their stress and struggles.
When did you start that?
So I started it my freshman year along with my sister. Our club is called Bring Change to Mind. We're like a high school branch of a national mental health organization, and it's aimed at reducing the mental health stigma.
That's beautiful. What more can you ask? I mean, I hope that it continues to bring you that joy and that you're able to keep sharing it with others too. Thank you so much for spending time with us today, for your beautiful performance and collaboration. And it's just been lovely getting to know you.
Thank you so much, Peter.
17-year-old flutist Rashmi Chelisseri from San Diego, California. And that's our show. From sun to surf to stunning musicians, I hope you've enjoyed listening to these young musicians whose performances have been as vibrant as the city they call home. I know I've had so much fun making music with them today. To take us out of the program, we're going to hear a special performance of musicians from the San Diego Youth Symphony and the Sinfonica Juvenil de Tijuana as they united for a first ever collaboration celebrating the power of music to transcend borders and bring communities together. The piece is called Ilimitados by Andres Martin and was commissioned to celebrate Tijuana and San Diego's designation as the World Design Capital 2024.
This binational orchestra of young musicians was led by Samir Patel. Thanks to all of our young musicians, and thanks to you for spending this time with us. I'm Peter Dugan. Please join me next week, and we'll take it from the top. Thank you to Eric Goodmanson and Peter Tsai at Studio West, and Nicole Houghton and Jeff Malecki at the University of San Diego. Today's From the Top was produced by Megan Swan and Molly Quinlan Artwick. Sound design and music editing by John Escobar. Our associate producer and mastering engineer is Rodrigo Cuenca, and our production manager is Amanda Roth. From the Top's executive director is Gretchen Nielsen. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation. The Jack Kent Cook Young Scholars Program provides pre-college scholarships for high-performing seventh-grade students with financial need. jkcf.org. From BritBox, dedicated to offering viewers the opportunity to see it differently with British TV. Streaming original series, Jane Austen dramas, Agatha Christie mysteries, and more at BritBox.com. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
You're listening to WVIK Classical on 98.3 FM, W252 EM Davenport, and 90.3 HD2 WVIK Rock Island. Support for Quad Cities NPR, WVIK, and the Echo Radio Hour comes from Village Home Stores, offering cabinetry, flooring, appliances, and lighting since 1984. Complete kitchen and bathroom model project management available. A portfolio of work is available at villagehomestores.com.
I'm Laura Reich from Moline, and I love WVIK Classical.
Was it a hit or was it a